Good morning. May 21st, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's edition includes opioid settlement funding disputes, a new hospital-based MOUD consensus statement, and a city survey asking for direct feedback on sexual health and harm reduction services. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. To start with news coverage, the Associated Press reports that the Cherokee Nation is putting culture at the center of a healthcare system built with opioid settlement funds. That is one of the clearer examples in today's briefing of settlement dollars being tied to long-term care design, not just short-term response. A related signal comes from Arizona. Tucson.com reports that the Arizona Attorney General is considering suing the governor and lawmakers over the diversion of opioid funds. In Massachusetts, the Boston Business Journal reports that Governor Healey has tapped a former revenue commissioner to chair a downsized cannabis control commission. On a different front, Filter reports on SAMHSA and says the agency is turning against long-term methadone use under a consider tapering approach. And the New York Post highlights scientists who say e-cigarettes can be helpful in two ways, despite their broader negative public reputation. In the social conversation, one innovation-focused post points to Delaware's Senate passing a bill aimed at reducing overdose deaths and supporting people struggling with addiction by decriminalizing paraphernalia, while asking what comes next for harm reduction efforts. Another post highlights a new JAMA consensus statement on hospital-based MOUD initiation. According to the post, experts reached consensus on practices including rapid methadone initiation, buprenorphine induction strategies, and managing withdrawal in response to evolving drug supply conditions. That could matter quickly for hospital teams watching for more standardized inpatient practice. Shifting from innovation to public debate, one opposition post argues that the introduction of harm reduction frameworks, supervised consumption sites, and changes to public drug policies occurred alongside a steep, multifold escalation in drug toxicity deaths across Canada. In this briefing, that stands as an example of opposition messaging around harm reduction policy. A few city-level updates are also worth noting. In Boston, the city is recognizing International Overdose Awareness Day on August 29, 2026. In San Jose, a community feedback survey for the Sexual Health and Harm Reduction Program, or SHHRP, went out on May 20th. If your work overlaps with local services there, that survey may be a direct opening for program feedback. And in Oklahoma City, the City Council has approved final plans for the MAPS for Mental Health Crisis Center, according to the city. In research, one new study in Substance Use and Addiction Journal looks at harm reduction staff perceptions of drug checking implementation. Another paper in Harm Reduction Journal examines the acceptability and usability of a respiratory biosensor for overdose detection and first responder notification, based on perspectives from people who use drugs and other stakeholders. That adds to the practical conversation about whether overdose detection technology is usable in real-world settings, not just technically possible. A separate Harm Reduction Journal paper looks at how community coalition diversity and targeted overdose prevention strategies are designed to reach special populations.
On the policy front, Kentucky has enacted a law relating to tobacco, nicotine, or vapor product licensure with an emergency declaration. At the city level, Seattle has a council bill adopting interim provisions to expand the capacity of transitional encampments. That is, worth tracking where shelter capacity and street-level service access are closely linked. There are also several current funding opportunities. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, through NCIPC, has a Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act, or CARA, opportunity with a deadline of June 8, 2026. SAMHSA has a Provider's Clinical Support System for Substance Use Disorder Treatment opportunity, known as PCSSSUD treatment, with a deadline of June 15, 2026. That deadline is coming up soon. And the National Institutes of Health has a funding opportunity to establish a Center for the Advancement of Substance Use Disorder Pharmacotherapeutics through training and preclinical support, with a deadline of September 30, 2026. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. Finally, in activism, the National Alliance to End Homelessness is urging people to contact Congress to protect and expand critical HUD homelessness programs. Shatterproof is also asking for donations to support its addiction recovery work. If those housing program protections are relevant to your work, this is the point to decide whether to contact Congress or share the action alert. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.